2, The Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen. And check out Dr. Oz and Dr. Roizen's website, youbeauty.com. Here are Joe Galewski, Dr. Deb Lonser, and of course, Dr. Michael Roizen, MD.
It's the Passion of Radio Show that helps you take control of your genes to become the world expert on your body. Welcome in, you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Mike Roizen. Chief Wellness Officer at the Cleveland Clinic. I'm Joe Galewski. To reach the show today, 877-711-5211. udocs@gmail.com, youdocs@gmail.com. Hi, Dr. Mike.
Hello, Joe.
Welcome to allergy season. We'll talk about allergies today, 34 past the hour.
You know, do you have allergies?
I have no idea. I'm really not bothered by them, but how would you know?
Well, I have them, and so I'm bothered by them. I have ragweed clearly in the fall, and sometimes I have tree and pollen in the spring. And the reason I can tell is because I sniffle a lot. I have that classic allergen salute, which is your first finger running across your nose like that. It's called the allergy salute. And we're going to talk to one of the world's experts on what you should do if you've got allergies, and a lot of Americans do. You know, it's surprising how many Americans have them. And we'll find out from the expert what you can do to prevent them, when you should stay inside, when you can go outside, and if you should move.
Move?
Move, like move to another city.
Yeah.
So allergy is geography specific because the pollen is geography and the trees are geography specific. So we'll talk about the 10 best and worst cities for allergies.
I know where we are in Syracuse. I think we're number 42 in the top 100 on the list I saw.
I'm not sure that you remembered that correctly, Joe.
Or is it 22?
I think you were number 20. Cleveland is 49.
All right, I think we're 22.
I think you're 22.
22, right, 22.
It was that's pretty bad.
One of the two. That's up there. But I don't think I have them. I don't know. I don't have the kind of things that you just talked about that you have.
Well, you know, maybe you should only play golf in the spring in Florida. I think you have to relocate your show to Florida.
That will happen someday. And when I do, I hope I can stay with this one.
Good. I hope so, too.
I think we're coming up on 5 years, you and I.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Are you serious?
September of 2008.
Wow, I didn't realize it was that long.
And 5 years. You know, September of 2013 is 12 years total for the show.
Yeah, for the show.
My best have been with you.
Oh, boy. Going to make me cry. The Real Age Tip of the Week. What's your topic if you have one?
Peppermint oil proven resolve of upset stomachs. So what's the data that peppermint oil does or doesn't resolve upset stomachs, and how can you get it?
Dr. Mike's Real Edge Tip of the Week, 877-711-5211 or udocs@gmail.com, youdocs@gmail.com. And the top medical news stories of the week. Turns out meat in this country is rife with antibiotic-resistant bacteria or superbugs. The findings probably sure to increase the backlash against the use of antibiotics in animals raised for feed. Raised for meat? What do you think?
Well, what this study showed was that 74%. I mean, this is almost sickening, but 74% of meat samples, and they did them from multiple sources: meat stores, grocery stores, etc. And even when they purchased them undercooked at restaurants. 74% had serious, what you would call, bacteria on them that you only get from fecal contamination. That is contamination with poo, if I can use the word. Poo.
You just did. Too late.
And a lot of them, and it was disgusting, really, isn't it?
Wow. Yeah.
And a high percentage of those are antibacterial resistant, because the animal has grown up taking antibiotics routinely to help grow the animal. Most animals, cows and pigs are. And the second thing, and by the way, chickens are too, but no one admits that from what I understand, And the second component of that is, in fact, that the bacteria now selected are harder to treat. So what's the message for you overall? Well, the good thing is you've got stomach acid, that is acid in your stomach, which kills most bacteria. Otherwise, we'd be a lot sicker than we are.
Now, there's some things this article doesn't cover. Number one, the first is whether these superbugs are resistant to proper cooking, right? Microbes that could be changed or destroyed through heat, like cooking. And the other one is, it'd be nice to say you should just properly cook your food and have it done. But accidents happen, right? You have to trust every single person to wash their hands, store everything at the right temperature, and not cross-contaminate with kitchen utensils. That requires you to trust a lot of people between the farm and the table.
And not only that, but when you cook it, when you have it at your home, it means that you very well wash and, if you will, essentially get antibacterial free your cutting board and your knife so that you don't contaminate one food with another.
And have separate cutting boards for fruit and vegetables and then one for your meat. That's another tip that they give.
Well, again, microbes don't just live on food that gets cooked, right? Who cooks their cantaloupe or lettuce? Microbes live on all food. They live on plants. They live in soil. They cover every square centimeter of your skin.
Yes, but the reason this is a serious problem isn't related to the fact that you've got microbes, but it's related to the fact that by giving antibiotics routinely to cows and other animals, the cow's bacteria, the bacteria that contaminates the meat, is selected for antibacterial resistance. That is, it's much harder to treat and much more serious if you eat that meat that's undercooked.
Now, usually, though, with a little effort, you have to put some effort into it. You can find a local farmer that has grass-fed chickens and cows from whom you can purchase meat, usually cheaper and, generally speaking, better tasting and more sustainable. I think you'd avoid the tainted stuff. And, if it's your thing, you'd also be shopping local. I think the main point is that you can know where your meat comes from and how the animals were raised, how they were butchered, and how they were fed.
Absolutely agree.
I think it's an increasing trend, too. It's definitely increasing in popularity.
What is?
Yeah.
The idea of buying more local and sustainable products.
Yeah, but remember, buying more local doesn't help you if they're still feeding the cows antibiotics so they grow faster.
And a couple things here. Number one, vets who work with the International Food Information Council, from what I read, think, and that's this is their opinion, that the report used small sample sizes and is somewhat misleading. And the report was partly funded by a company that sells organic and antibiotic-free natural meats.
Wow, Joe, that was such a good catch.
Did you catch it yourself, Bridget?
No, I didn't.
That's why I get here like Friday night to get ready. I get here 24 hours before the show to get ready for the show.
I didn't.
Sleep right in that seat so you don't have time.
I want to come to the table with something, you know, so to speak. I just want to, you know, be able to come here and contribute something, because I know Dr. Mike's the expert, and he should be. So we're going to go to break in a minute, then go through the other stories. Would a possible solution, Dr. Mike, be to stop fighting them with antibiotics?
Stop feeding antibiotics. Yes, if you stop feeding with antibiotics, you won't generate antibiotic-resistant bugs, and that's the whole point of this. And so you say, how can we do that and still have things that cost about the same? And it does take some effort, but you can do it.
Okay, coming up after the break, more of the top stories of the week. Your phone calls, if you want to. Some of your emails. We'll talk about ways to find good health care when you don't have insurance. How about yogurt lovers? Are they better eaters? Do they have better diets that people don't eat yogurt? And a little more on the Western diet, if that's something that would be good for you. And a lot more coming up. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen here on Radio MD. Stay well.
You You tune up your car and change the oil when it's running sluggish, right? Well, then how come when you're feeling low and sluggish, you aren't doing something about it? D-Herbs can help with their full body cleanse or dozens of other healthy, all-natural supplements and products. It's time to finally do something for you. Take a look at D-Herbs quality all-natural products, and you get a free gift, famous D-Herbs all-natural, all-herbal cleansing tea and an ebook with important life-changing information that you can download. It's called The Power of Cleansing. You can heal from any disease. Just go to freedherbs.com. That's free, the letter D, herbs.com, and claim your free herbal cleansing tea. You just pay a small shipping fee for that, and then you can download your free ebook on the wonders of healing cleansing. You'll also get a 15% off discount code if you should decide to make a purchase. Free gifts for you, plus a special gift of better health. freedherbs.com. freedherbs.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Regina Benjamin, U.S. Surgeon General. As a family doctor, I've seen the terrible impact of a premature birth. Losing a baby is one of the hardest things a family can go through. As Surgeon General, I see the toll that premature births have on our nation. It can cause lifelong disabilities. It is the leading cause of death in newborns. And our country has one of the highest rates of preterm birth in the world. We must do better. Hospitals need to ensure that babies are delivered early, only when medically necessary. We need research to find the causes of premature birth and research to find new ways to prevent it. Couples need to learn the risk of premature birth and what they can do to have a full-term baby, such as getting a preconception checkup. Remember, 40 weeks is a full-term pregnancy, and every week of pregnancy counts. Let's work together for stronger, healthier babies.
Are you always looking for places to stop and rest because you're short of breath, wheezing, or coughing? Who wants to live like that? See your doctor for a simple breathing test to find out if it's COPD, a serious lung disease. With treatment, soon you could be living more and stopping less. Visit copd.nhlbi.nih.gov. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Did you know only about 3% of the CEOs of Fortune 500 companies are women?
And of the 18,000 police chiefs in America, less than 2% are women.
So it's no wonder that only 1 in 5 girls believes she has what it takes to lead.
But did you know?
We can change that.
The time you spend with a girl now.
The words you say to her today.
Can give her the courage, confidence, and character to become a leader tomorrow.
So speak up.
Get involved.
Nurture her potential.
Share your experience.
Invest your resources.
Did you know?
Together we can get her there.
Get started today. Visit togetherthere.org.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. It's the time of year when colds and viruses begin making their rounds through schools and families. Sometimes parents will ask for antibiotics, believing they will shorten an illness, allowing their child to return to school or child care quicker. But antibiotics are not usually the answer. Antibiotics are powerful drugs that need to be used cautiously. Antibiotics have no effect on viruses and will not reduce the length of the illness or the symptoms. They are highly effective in treating bacterial infections such as strep throat or bacterial pneumonia. But overuse of antibiotics can make them less effective when truly needed. Some bacteria strains have become resistant to antibiotics as a result of antibiotic overuse. The best way to treat a viral infection is with rest, fluids, and TLC. So feel free to baby your child who has the cold or the flu. Give them lots of love and care, but save the antibiotics for when they are truly needed. And for more information on children's health, visit www.aap.org. With a minute for kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
And now, back to Dr. Michael Roizen, Dr. Deb Lonser, and Joe Galewski on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Well, thank you, morning and night, multivitamins at youbeauty.com for believing in this show every week, and we believe in you for listening. Thank you for listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. We'll have a seminar on allergies. It's allergy season, a complete seminar, what you need to know about allergies, at 34 past the hour. In the meantime, we'll get through some of the top medical news stories of the week. Dr. Mike puts these together every week. Are there ways to find good health care when you don't have health care insurance, Dr. Mike?
The answer is absolutely yes. And what we should do is one, this will, in fact, be more important or more easy to find health care, because you'll have much more likely to have health insurance once the ACA, the Accountable Care Act, comes fully into service. But the one is visit a community health center. So these centers are located around the country, usually in inner city and poorer areas, but they offer or exceed the standard of quality offered in private practices. See a nurse practitioner, such as in one of the drugstore clinics. Hire a negotiator if you don't have insurance to negotiate the medical price for you, and then go to a health fair, because you often will get screenings for the top five: blood pressure, cholesterol, glaucoma, bone density, as well as waist for height. And I already said blood pressure, but also blood sugar. And that is, in fact, one of the important things. The other thing is you can keep your health better by just walking, eating healthy. That is, if you will, a relatively meat-free diet. It doesn't have to be tasteless. You want to make it tasteful, so you can find out all those things online. You can go to our website, in fact, at clevelandclinicwellness.com to find a recipe a day that's healthy and tasty and that doesn't contain red meat. You occasionally will have chicken, and occasionally, and more than occasionally, salmon or ocean trout, as well as a lot of other sample that are primarily vegetarian-based, and they are really tasty. So you can do walking, you can do eating healthy, and you can learn stress management online for free, or even one of our online programs that's excellent, Stress Free Now. And once you do those things, you knock down 75% of the chronic disease you're likely to have. So the best thing to do, I think, rather than just try and find inexpensive medical care when you need it, is plan for that in advance by doing healthy things to prevent your needing medical care.
Now, you go to a health fair and you get checked for all the vitals, the cholesterol and the blood pressure and everything else you can get at a health fair, and they determine you have one of these problems. Then what do you do?
Then you can go to a family health center, and those family health centers will, you'll be able to see the physician. The family, the community health center is the actual, what they're called, the community health center. And you will see a doctor, a nurse practitioner, and you'll get medications for those conditions and then get it filled, and they can even talk to you. There's a site called the American Pharmaceutical Manufacturers Association site, where if you don't have enough money for any pharmaceutical, they will get you to the right company and be able to get you that pharmaceutical for essentially free.
And another good thing about the health fairs is that a lot of times they have educational materials in addition to recommending that you see a physician if it's necessary, but a lot of good educational materials that might have recipes or good recommendations for how you can tackle whatever problem you have.
I've always heard that anybody in this country is never ever denied medical care if they need it. Now, we've always had insurance. I've always been insured by somebody, my parents or me or us now. So is that true? If you have a problem, you can go someplace, any place, and be treated? Is that how that works?
It's not any place. It has to be a place that used Hill-Burton funds since 1946. But that's virtually every municipal hospital, every academic medical center. And they have the obligation, if you go into the emergency room and require treatment, to treat you.
And you can also contact your county's health department. Right now I'm doing my internship rotation through my program, spending 6 weeks at the Summit County Public Health Agency. And all of these programs that they offer, I am through federal grants, I'm so amazed, because I had no idea that a lot of them existed. And I think that a lot of times people don't know that they exist. So you can contact your county's public health department and find out about more things.
So you can get treated for something if you're not insured, and then after it's done, you walk out and you're done. You know what I'm saying? If you walk into a facility and you're treated, you don't have any health insurance, they treat you, they supposedly fix you, and that's it. You say thank you, and you can walk out the door.
If you have assets that they can go after, okay, they will try and go after them.
Okay.
But if you don't have assets, if you're too poor or have only a home and don't have any bank account, et cetera, they don't go after you. And in fact, so most of the, although 60% of bankruptcies are caused by medical expenses, one of the good things to know is that there are a lot of stopgap programs. So the hospital doesn't want to go after you, so they will try and get you on one of the other programs that will insure you and cover you for catastrophic health care costs, which is what would happen if you had to be admitted. The family or community health centers, that's right, when you see someone at the community health centers, you basically see them and go away, and you have no obligation to pay anything.
Well, that's good to know. These are some simple things I've never known before. I think it's good to get that stuff out there because someone probably doesn't know either, like me. Before I go to the break and the allergy guest at 34 past the hour, what's a Western diet and why isn't it good for seniors?
Well, the Western diet is one that is high in fried food, processed food, and I'm gonna, they look at, this is a very interesting one, so it is fried food, processed food, and red meat, pies, sweetened desserts, chocolates that weren't 100%, if you will, real chocolate, they were milk chocolate and trans fat chocolate, refined grains, high-fat dairy products, and condiments. And when they looked at those, the people who had the worst of the Western diets were, in fact, compared to the average person, they were, and they looked at it 16 years follow-up, and they did more than almost 4,000 men and 1,500 women who were at age 51 at baseline. If they looked at age 67, 16 years later, the participants with the Western diet were 50% less likely to reach that age, 67, from any cause, that is, whether it was cardiovascular or cancer-related deaths, and they had a lot more disability, almost three times the disability rates of people who had, quote, ideal diets. So the basic message is you should avoid those processed foods, red meat, sweetened foods, bakery products, if you will, that are not 100% whole grain, and foods with saturated and trans fat, whole milk products.
You ever notice when you see commercials for fast food, that a lot of them, a majority and a lot of them, advertise bacon? You ever notice that bacon this, bacon baconator, bacon cheeseburger, triple baconator?
Oh my God!
Yeah,
people
well,
love bacon.
It's and Michael Simon, who lives in Cleveland and is the winner of the Iron Chef and is on the Chew every day or
right,
most days. Everything in his restaurants at the basketball game has bacon in it or is wrapped in bacon, etc.
Yeah,
and I consider him one of the leading suppliers of patients to the Cleveland Clinic. So those restaurants, if you want to commit suicide, it's a slow suicide, but it's a long period of disability. If you want to have heart surgery, if you enjoy having bypasses, if you will, stents, go ahead and have that bacon.
Yeah, bacon is a big draw in a lot of these commercials. I just noticed that, and it was a good time to bring that up. Allergy season is here, a seminar on allergies.
You know, and it's a great way. Having that bacon is a great way to make the U.S. non-competitive for jobs.
We'll be back. Stay well. Radio MD.
I didn't think it was anything.
I had pain in my abdomen. It just wouldn't go away.
I was spotting, but I had already gone through menopause.
These symptoms may be nothing, but they could be early warning signs of a gynecologic cancer, such as cervical, ovarian, or uterine cancer.
Seeing my doctor probably saved my life.
Warning signs are not the same for everyone. If you think something's wrong, see your doctor. Ask about gynecologic cancer. Call 1-800-CDC-INFO for more information. A message from the Inside Knowledge Campaign and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
This is Torticure, and it's more than just a bike ride. It's a celebration. It's where every turn of the pedal helps stop diabetes. Where cyclists of all levels come together to make a difference, to raise money, and to raise hope. It's the ride of your life. It's Tour to Cure. Register today at diabetes.org/tour. That's diabetes.org/tour.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. Snowboarding is a popular winter sport. Snowboards look like big skateboards made from fiberglass and plastic. Snowboarders ride their boards much the way surfers do, steering by shifting their body weight. Most can reach speeds up to 40 miles per hour. Twice as many injuries happen to snowboarders as skiers. The most common injuries are to the wrist, usually when snowboarders use their arms to break a fall. The American Academy of Pediatrics does not recommend this sport for children under age 7. For older children, make sure the snowboard fits the child. An easy way to determine this is to make sure the board stands no higher than the child's nose. Children should always wear helmets and gloves with built-in wrist guards, and they should resist trying advanced stunts or dangerous tricks until they've mastered all the basic snowboarding skills. And for more information on your child's health and safety, visit www.aap.org. With a minute for kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
I didn't think it was anything.
I had pain in my abdomen. It just wouldn't go away.
I was spotting, but I had already gone through menopause.
These symptoms may be nothing, but they could be early warning signs of a gynecologic cancer, such as cervical, ovarian, or uterine cancer.
Seeing my doctor probably saved my life.
Warning signs are not the same for everyone. If you think something's wrong, see your doctor. Ask about gynecologic cancer. Call 1-800-CDC-INFO for more information. A message from the Inside Knowledge Campaign and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
This is Tour to Cure, and it's more than just a bike ride. It's a celebration. It's where every turn of the pedal helps stop diabetes. Where cyclists of all levels come together to make a difference, to raise money, and to raise hope. It's the ride of your life. It's Tour to Cure. Register today at diabetes.org/tour. That's diabetes.org/tour.
I didn't think it was anything.
I had pain in my abdomen. It just wouldn't go away.
I was spotting, but I had already gone through menopause.
These symptoms may be nothing, but they could be early warning signs of a gynecologic cancer, such as cervical, ovarian, or uterine cancer.
Seeing my doctor probably saved my life.
Warning signs are not the same for everyone. If you think something's wrong, see your doctor. Ask about gynecologic cancer. Call 1-800-CDC-INFO. For more information, a message from the Inside Knowledge Campaign and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
This is Tour to Cure, and it's more than just a bike ride. It's a celebration. It's where every turn of the pedal helps stop diabetes. Where cyclists of all levels come together to make a difference, to raise money, and to raise hope. It's the ride of your life. It's Tour to Cure. Register today at diabetes.org/tour. That's diabetes.org/tour.
It's your life, your health, it's your show. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Joe Galuski and Dr. Deb Lonser. And starring Dr. Michael Roizen, M.D.
Well, it's allergy season. Experts say it's going to be longer and it's going to be stronger. Allergies among the most common chronic conditions all over the world. Allergy symptoms range from, you know, being miserable, making you miserable, to putting you at risk for something even more serious, could be life-threatening reactions. Dr. Richard Weber, president of the American College of Allergy, Asthma, and Immunology, and he's an allergist. And we're going to spend some time here talking about allergies, your allergies, and why you get them and what to do about them. Dr. Weber, thanks for coming on. There are probably people that don't have allergies. If they don't, why don't they? And why do other people have them?
Well, part of it is hereditary. We know that common allergic problems like allergic rhinitis or asthma, for that matter, or a type of skin rash called atopic eczema, run in families. And so it just seems that some people are genetically engineered to make more allergic antibodies than others. We all make some, but some people make a lot more.
Yeah, I think my mom and dad never had them, and I don't think I have them. Dr. Mike and I were talking about it before you came on today, and I don't believe I do have allergies, and my mom doesn't have them, and my dad never had them, so could be good for me. Here's Dr. Mike.
Dr. Weber, thanks for coming on. We got a series of questions, and anyone can ask us questions anytime at udocs, y-o-u-d-o-c-s at gmail.com. The first was a question from someone who said, I heard I can take immunotherapy under my tongue rather than getting shots. In other words, if I'm allergic to pollen, tree pollen, which I am, I have hated getting the thought of getting shots, so I've never gotten immunized or immunotherapy or whatever you call it against these, she wrote. But now I see that you can take it as drops under your tongue. Would you ask Dr. Weber if that's just as effective, more effective, and where do I get such?
A great question. The traditionally, allergists in the United States have used shots, of course, but over a number of years in Europe, they've experimented with what's called sublingual immunotherapy, or SLIT, which means basically putting some drops under your tongue, swishing it around a little bit, and then swallowing it. A form of that has been done in this country in the past, but was not shown to be terribly effective. The difference with the European variety is that they have used higher concentration, so more stuff that's put under your tongue, and that appears to be more effective. Now, is it as effective as getting allergy shots? Not quite. The onset of benefit is a little slower. So with a number of the studies, they've shown that whereas with allergy shots, you may expect a benefit, certainly after the first year or with the first season you're going through. With SLIT, it's delayed a little, and it's usually the second year where the benefit is more obvious. Both shots and SLIT are effective and do result in some decrease in somebody's allergicness, and that this does persist for a while after you've stopped. In the United States, it hasn't been approved by the FDA yet, although there is a grass tablet that dissolves under your tongue, which will probably be approved within the next year or so. The other big difference between getting regular allergy shots and SLIT is so far most of the work on SLIT has been done with just a single allergen. So, for example, just grass pollen or just dust mite or cat, and that it's unclear whether multiple things in the mix really will work as well. So far, the evidence is it may not work as well.
Now, this person, there's an email relating to this. As she said, maybe he didn't hear what I said or you didn't read it right. She said, could I take what I normally get in shots and have it, if you will, use that syringe and push it under my tongue? Would that get the same effect? In other words, can I do this myself because I won't get the shots and I'd rather now suffer with the allergies or take medicines that make me drowsy rather than getting the shots? I would take the syringe under my tongue or the shot or the liquid under my tongue that I suck out of the syringe rather than that. Can I do that?
The problem is concentration. It takes a lot more with putting it under the tongue, and so what's in a typical vial of that's used for an allergy shot wouldn't be potent enough. So you'd have to be doing more.
So we tell her to go to. Does Canada have the same standard as Europe, or does she have to go to Europe if she wants this?
The truth is that there are people who are experimenting with this and doing it in this country. And so she doesn't really have to go to Canada or to England. The problem is that since it's not FDA approved yet. There's a question of coverage.
Whether she'll have to pay for it out of pocket or not.
Exactly right. She would probably have to pay for it out of pocket.
Now, another guy writes, he said, I've been itching and scratching like crazy, and my doctor did a bunch of tests on me. He didn't test me for detergent allergies, since my wife changes detergents frequently. But he did test for dust mites, and I came up 30 times higher than the upper limits of normal for dust mites on my test. What does that mean? And is there a way? My doctor said I could just cover my blankets, my mattress and pillows with latex covers. Would that do the same thing?
So it kind of depends on where he lives. Now, there, we look at dust mite sensitivity as being primarily a nose or asthma kind of problem with inhalant, but there actually is some reports that suggest that a year-round or perennial allergen like dust mite or possibly cat or dog may have an impact on eczema and possibly could be making it worse. So it certainly is a possibility that this may be driving his skin problem. Now, if he lived in Colorado, it wouldn't be a problem because it'd be too dry there, and we really don't have much in the way of dust mite problems. But he lives anywhere in the coastal areas of the Midwest in general. It's humid enough. He is going to have dust mites more than likely.
This is he says he lives in San Francisco, and he has the problem both in San Francisco and when he goes to the desert to play golf.
He's probably, yeah, the problem is that these are kind of delayed reactions that kind of build up, and probably going away for a bit is probably not good enough. Certainly the exposure in the Bay Area would be plenty. And so there are websites where you can get, now it's basically tightly woven cloth, which is much better than the old plastic mattress covers and pillow covers, and which do limit some of the exposure and may be useful.
When we come back, Joe?
Okay, thank you, doctors. Dr. Richard Weber, he's an allergist. More to talk about with your allergies and how to fix them. If you have them, stick around. udocs@gmail.com, udocs@gmail.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD. Stay well.
Hi, this is Melanie Cole, show host here at Radio MD and a mother of two. I want parents to know about Great Start Life Insurance offered by Guarantee Trust Life Insurance Company. Great Start insures the future insurability of your children. Now, what does that mean? Too often, people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards can preclude them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. But by insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your children, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out all about the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to greatstartgtl.com and see for yourself why Great Start is, well, a great start for your kids. Peace of mind at greatstartgtl.com. That's greatstartgtl.com. For the Great Start Plan, go to greatstartgtl.com.
Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois.
If you know the symptoms and get the facts, you'll know the signs of a heart attack. Women, listen to me, and when I'm done, if it sounds familiar, call 911.
Pain in your neck, chest,
arms, or jaw,
shortness of breath,
please tell us more. Cold sweats and nausea, tiredness,
it's time to take it serious.
Back pain, stomach pain, shortness of breath, cold sweats, nausea, dizziness. If you know the symptoms and heed the signs, you'll be around for a long, long time. Women, listen to me, and when I'm done, if any sound familiar, call 911.
Learn a song that could save your life. Get a free download at womenshealth.gov/heartattack.
Women, listen to me, and when I'm done,
If any sound familiar, call 911. If any sound familiar, call 911.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
I can solve difficult problems for a Fortune 500 company.
I can run a successful business.
I can put my military experience to work for your company.
I can manage your home improvements.
I can publicize your message.
I can teach your children.
But I can't put my skills to work for your organization
if I'm not given the opportunity.
Nearly 50 million Americans have disabilities. Capitalize on their talents with employment practices that benefit everyone. Learn more at whatcanyoudocampaign.org.
Hi, I'm Olympic gold medalist Shawn Johnson. I want to make sure you know about the March of Dimes March for Babies. This walk is really special to me. I was born with an Apgar score of 0, which is not an ideal way to start. Every day, babies start life the same way, with the odds stacked against them. Their first steps are made possible by ours, all of ours. Take the first step at marchforbabies.org. Let's walk together for stronger, healthier babies.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. While planning gifts for your children, grandchildren, nieces, and nephews this holiday season, don't forget about toy safety. Toys need to match a child's abilities, so always check the manufacturer's age recommendations on the toy first. In general, toy parts should be much larger than the child's mouth to prevent injuries, including choking. To avoid serious eye or ear injuries, steer clear of toys that shoot small objects into the air or make loud noises. The eyes, nose, and other small parts on soft toys and stuffed animals should be securely fastened. If a toy comes with instructions, make sure you read and demonstrate them to the child and make sure she understands the proper way to use the toy. And note, never buy hobby kits such as chemistry sets for any child younger than 12. For more tips on keeping your holidays safe with your children and family, visit www.aap.org. With a minute for kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Dr. Mike's Real Age Tip of the Week in about 5 minutes. We're talking allergies today with Dr. Richard Weber. He's an allergist, also the president of the American College of Allergy, Asthma, and Immunology. And here again is Dr. Mike Roizen.
And this person says, I occasionally get spring allergies, meaning when the pollen comes out from the trees, I start sneezing and sniffling, and fall allergies. But I don't want to get shots for it. I can't afford them. Can I get over-the-counter? Is there something I should take over-the-counter beforehand or during or just when I get symptoms?
Okay. With allergies, as with a lot of other things, it's really better to be proactive and plan ahead. And so if a person knows that they always have trouble in March or say in August, then in the middle of February, they ought to start taking some medication. Now, what most people do is they just go and get some over-the-counter antihistamines, and there are certainly some decent ones that are relatively non-sedating now that can just be picked up off the shelf. Although most people do that, that's not as effective as using a nasal steroid spray. That's really much better for controlling the allergy symptoms, but that does require a prescription, and so you do need to see at least your regular doctor about that. And it's, again, much better if you plan ahead, and so that if you start the nasal steroid spray a couple of weeks or so before you really expect the symptoms to crank up. If you start when you're already miserable, you're playing catch-up, and it's a lot harder. There is some research that shows that if you start the nasal steroid beforehand, you may actually decrease the amount of allergic antibodies that are being produced in your nose. So medical management, like with an inhaled steroid nose spray or just relying on some over-the-counter or prescription antihistamines, can frequently work pretty well, and certainly is the first thing that ought to be tried, I think, by everybody before they think about allergy shots.
Now, by the way, this person responded pretty quickly to the question and said, does the nasal steroid have steroid side effects like baseball players get?
No. Fortunately, when you're blowing it up your nose, the concentration and the particular steroid itself is, first of all, it's designed that the first pass through the body goes through the liver and it gets broken down into an inactive form. So you don't see the kind of steroid side effects that you would see if you were taking oral steroids like prednisone or getting steroid injections. The major side effect from a nasal steroid is bloody nose. And we tend to see that more where I am in Colorado because in the winter it really gets dry, and so maybe that's a little more of a problem. But it usually just means backing off for a short period of time. That's the major side effect. So there aren't any obnoxious side effects as one would associate with oral steroids like prednisone.
We've got so many interesting comments on it. I should say go to the website www.acaai.org, American College of Allergy, Asthma, and Immunology.org. www.acaai.org would be a good site. Now, our spring, I'm not going to get to all of these, so are spring allergies getting more common? I seem to get them more frequently the older I get.
You know, the old dogma used to be that the one thing that got better as you got older was allergies. And because ordinarily allergic antibodies are supposed to peak out like in the teens or early 20s, and they very gradually subside as you get older. So theoretically, as you got older, the hay fever should have gotten better. But we're seeing just the opposite now. I'm seeing more older patients coming in with hay fever for the first time, whether they're in their 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s. And I suspect that some of it has to do with the climate change that we're dealing with, and so that pollen seasons, whether you're talking about trees or talking about some of the late summer weeds, are for the trees, they're coming on earlier, they're lasting longer, so the season is longer, and the trees are producing more pollen, so the peaks of exposure are higher. And there's actually some work out of Europe showing that, indeed, there are more people getting sensitized. So that whether that's the only factor, probably not. But I certainly am seeing more patients who are a little bit older coming in with hay fever for the first time. And people who normally have trouble, say, in April are coming in and complaining in March. And I do believe that that has something to do with climate change and increased temperatures.
My mom told me, another one goes, that if I put honey under my tongue and suck on it every day, I will not have pollen allergies because honey is made from pollen.
You know, that doesn't work. And years ago, we actually had a patient who got very, very sick with a variety of allergy problem, which was affecting her whole body, and it was because she was taking bee pollen that she'd gotten at the health food store. Not a good idea. It doesn't really work that well.
And do allergies sometimes get worse? In other words, this person writes, when I first had allergies, I didn't seem to mind them much. Now they're much worse for me, and I feel like I occasionally are choking, can have trouble breathing with it. Is the allergy getting worse, or am I just getting exposed to more of whatever causing the allergy in the spring?
Okay, it's probably a mix of both of those things, because There is something called the priming effect, and what it is that as a season progresses, it takes less and less exposure to induce the same amount of symptoms, and it's because the allergic inflammation that's going on in the nose or down in the chest is getting worse, and it's kind of cranked up, and it just makes you more sensitive. So indeed, as a season goes by, you may find that you're having more trouble with the less exposure. And if you follow the pollen counts on the TV or whatever, you say, well, why am I having this much trouble when the count is starting to drop off?
Dr. Weber, we're going to have to go to a necessary break. We want to thank you. We're going to have you back. And Joe?
Hi, you're the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Royza. Thank you so much for listening today on Radio MD. Stay well.
You tune up your car and change the oil when it's running sluggish, right? Well, then how come when you're feeling low and sluggish, you aren't doing something about it? D-Herbs can help with their full body cleanse or dozens of other healthy, all-natural supplements and products. It's time to finally do something for you. Take a look at D-Herbs quality all-natural products, and you get a free gift, famous D-Herbs all-natural, all-herbal cleansing tea and an ebook with important life-changing information that you can download. It's called The Power of Cleansing. You can heal from any disease. Just go to freedherbs.com. That's free, the letter D, herbs.com, and claim your free herbal cleansing tea. You just pay a small shipping fee for that. And then you can download your free ebook on the wonders of healing cleansing. You'll also get a 15% off discount code if you should decide to make a purchase. Free gifts for you, plus a special gift of better health. freedherbs.com. freedherbs.com.
Sometimes people buy cookies as a gift for us to send to our soldiers. They tell us it reminds them of home.
Emily is one of thousands of Girl Scouts who will send cookies to troops stationed overseas.
Children shouldn't have to take abuse because they aren't strong enough to escape it. I want to give them a helping hand.
Alicia uses proceeds from her cookie sales to provide mentoring programs at a shelter in her community.
Selling Girl Scout cookies has taught me how to manage money, be responsible, and talk to other people.
Tanya wants to go to business school and hopes to run her own company someday.
On a visit to the food bank, I learned that in this economy, more and more people need help to feed their families.
Morgan and other Girl Scouts are starting a project to help get food to those who need it most. Every Girl Scout cookie has a mission, to help girls do great things. Find your cookies now at GirlScoutCookies.org.